And welcome back to Shock Talk, the After Party podcast you didn't know you didn't need. My name is Sean.
I'm Maddie.
And we're here to discuss the movie The 13th Warrior, which was Madeline's pick of the year.
Yes.
So, Madeline, why did you pick this movie?
Because I love it.
Okay, discuss.
I don't know. I like this movie. I like action movies. They don't need to have a whole lot of plot, although I like this plot. I think it's interesting. I liked this movie so much. I read the book, was not impressed with the book. I really like the scene where he's learning their language. And I thought they did a really good job of like showing that, you know, him listening and learning and, you know, how they tease him, but they also respect him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I like all of that. You know, he goes in with certain preconceptions and then, you know, he leaves and he realizes that not everything that you think or know about somebody is true, especially if you don't know them.
Okay, that's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, sometimes I can be nice.
Sometimes. This is the qualifier right there.
Yeah.
Notice I didn't say that. She did.
Yeah, well.
Okay. So we're going to just jump right in. If you're familiar with how this works, we basically discuss the stuff that shocked and applaud discussed and go a little bit deep diving there. So the first thing we're going to do is there was a lot of discussion in this shocked and applaud episodes about, genocide in this movie. I would like to have a quick discussion, if you will, about genocide versus, self-defense.
Yeah.
I'm all with Naomi on some parts of it being like, okay, we have a fight, you and me. Why don't I see where you're coming from? You know, why don't we share opinions? Now, this is different, though. However, if your opinion is, I would like to kill you and eat you.
Well,
in which case, we're not going to have any common ground. I'm not going to find the positive points of your life versions. Your way of thinking, if your way of thinking is I look yummy.
And I mean, okay, so I don't want this to be a like, well, you know, it was their time and they didn't know better. But like that this whole, well, let's sit down and let's talk about our feelings. That like no. And you're putting 2021 values and concepts and things on a movie that is supposed to be set in
early Middle Ages.
Yeah.
I mean,
and like these people, it's not a fight over land. It's not a fight to control cattle or something. They want to eat, and they have been killing other communities and other cities. And, you know, they say, well, we haven't heard from these people in months, and this city was decimated and I was the only survivor. Like, they are committing genocide because they think that the Norse people are tasty and yummy, and the Norse people are literally defending themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the movie makes a good point about this, but when they walk up, they're like, there's nobody, no middle-aged men here because they've all died fighting these people. And this huge castle that's supposed to be, like, peopled with tons of people is literally, like, there's less than 100 of these Norse people, 100 men, women, and children.
And this has been happening for
months, years?
Years. I mean, they make it sound like it's an old thing that has been revived. It's an old belief, an old cult that has been revived. And so it's not like two competing, you know,
ideologies, or like, hey, we're coming over because you have the best trade route to whatever economic system. No, this is like, hey, we don't eat meat from cows. We eat you.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat you until you're gone.
Yeah.
And then we're going to move on to another cave in another area and then eat them.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's a difference between genocide and self-defense.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you also think about it, there's no way that those 13 people, even with the combined force of like all the men and children, could have defeated that entire army if that entire army was dead set on eating them.
That was the thing, is as soon as their leader died, they disappeared. And after the leader was dead, our warriors did not pursue them.
No.
They didn't follow them back into the cave. And when they went into the cave the first time, they admittedly, it was because they were, you know, saving themselves. They're like, we can't get through all of these people and then all of those people and then kill the queen. You know, we're going to die ourselves. So they went down the waterfall. But like their intent was not to wipe out these people. These people came at them first.
Right.
And they started by building defenses and building, you know, safeguarding the town that they were in. It wasn't about just going out and randomly killing a bunch of people because you didn't like them.
If you've ever seen the movie, what is it? The Ghost in the Darkness?
Yeah.
About man-eating lions?
Yeah.
You're not going to go and, like, have a conversation with the lions and say, hey, lions, don't eat us. You can go eat those gazelles over there. We're cool with you.
Right?
The lions aren't going to listen to you.
Let's just live and let live. It's fine.
No. Okay. So just pointing that part out. Okay. So we love you. We love you, yeah. Naomi.
We disagree on this point.
But me and Madeline both agree that if we were all of us in the Middle Ages, me and Madeline would probably survive longer than you guys. No offense. No offense. I mean, you know, put us in medieval Norway, and I think both me and Maddie maybe might have a better chance of survival. Okay. So then there was this question about mead. When he's like, it's honey, it's fermented honey, and he drinks the mead in regards to Islamic law.
I think it's probably still not within the, because I think it's like, it's not the wheat, it's the fermentation that's the issue.
Actually, I looked up understandingislam.com.
Of course you did.
From 1999, there is an actual discussion on this particular part in the movie. The Quran, while prohibiting intoxicants, has used the word kamar. The word kamar, normally translated as wine, was more of a generic name for intoxicants in the classical Arabic language, like the word liquor in the English language.
Yeah.
The Quran has thus prohibited all these alcoholic drinks that are used as intoxicants and have the effect of drunkenness.
Yeah, so he was living by the letter of the law. I can't drink anything that's fermented from wheat or grape.
Yeah, yeah.
But he, you know, he wasn't following the spirit of the law, which was, you know, no alcohol.
Yeah.
But as Catholics, and I don't know if Islam would follow in this suit as well. But there's this idea of like, so during Lent we fast. And, you know, and we don't eat meat, but like, let's say you're going to a friend's house and that friend is not Catholic. And so they're having spaghetti and meatballs or something, or they're having something with meat and they offer you some. You are allowed within, you know, judgment of your own self to say, would it be worse to offend my friend and say, no, I can't have that? Or would it be worse to, you know, have a little spaghetti and meatballs and then, you know.
I think in Islam, it's the opposite. It would be worse to offend your beliefs than it would be offend your friends. Your friends should be understanding enough to,
to believe that. Yes.
And you should be able to say that to them.
Yeah.
So reading on about this, because I actually had a lot, I like this. The reason for intoxication prohibition is quite simple. Man has bestowed an exalted position over that of most of the other creatures of God because of his faculties of reasoning, understanding, and thoughtfulness. These are the very faculties which have produced tremendous speed and development in human life as compared to that of other creatures inhabiting the earth. Moreover, these are the faculties on the basis of which humans shall be held accountable for their good and bad deeds on the day of judgment.
I agree with that.
Thus, anything that has the minutest of potentials of making these human faculties ineffective actually has the potential of reducing a human being to a level far that below which his creator has in store for him.
I do not disagree.
Therefore, Cam here has the potential and is therefore prohibited in Islamic Sharia law. So that's pretty much what they're saying, is that the idea that alcohol makes us less than God has set aside for us.
Well, and that's not dissimilar, I think, from our belief.
No, our belief, though, also is like in moderation.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as Catholics, you can, you know, all things in moderation.
Also, the idea that in Catholicism, a lot of places, beer was the only source of food.
Well, and I mean, in a lot of like Europe and Western countries, beer and wine, because the water was dirty and nasty.
Right. Whereas most places where Islam is acceptable, there is plenty of clean water. I mean, yeah. Maybe not. I don't know.
But I think he was, like I said, I think he was following the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. But Sean found that information at understanding-islam.com.
Mm-hmm. In case okay, so they asked me to do a death count in this movie.
Oh.
The total deaths in this movie is 64. Huh. That doesn't include horses, just people.
Yeah.
Ahmed himself killed 8. Bullwhiff killed 6.
Bullvi.
And Herger, which is the
little dude.
The translator guy that the people on Shocked and Applaud could not remember the name of for the entire episode. They didn't remember his name at all.
I don't think I ever remembered his name.
His count is 6. So Ahmed killed more than that little dude killed. And So 64 Eben. Deaths. So there was, speaking of horses, Naomi did bring up some issues that she had with the movie and the treatment of animals.
Why she gotta be ruining all the things I like?
So Edward L. Lish, a veteran investigator and coordinator of the film's unit operations, wrote a memo detailing how the American Humane Association pulled its punches in discussing this movie. In his memo, it cited concerns that the Humane Association film unit's handling of several movies, including The 13th Warrior. On September 5th, 1997, 2 horses were hurt during successive takes of a Viking battle scene in which a stunt rider was jerked from his mount by a wire cable. The first time, a horse got tangled in the lengthy cable and sustained a treatable injury. In a subsequent take, the cable wrapped around the other horse's leg and severed the tendons when the animal bolted scared, dragging the rider through the mud. The horse eventually had to be destroyed.
Boo!
8 other dangerous or inhumane acts may have occurred during the film, according to American Humane Society's draft letter in 1999. They included a wrangler pushing a cow into the mud and then dragging out with a horse. This occurred in front of the cast crew, Antonio Banderas' then-wife, actress Melanie Griffith, who was reportedly very upset.
As she should be.
Speaking of Melanie Griffith, we just talked about her on our last episode of Shock Talk. We did. So, bringing that back, one horse was heavily sedated during a stunt, and another was forced to jump over bales of hay and land on a hard surface. The American Humane Association eventually concluded that the horse's death was an industrial accident and that no cruelty occurred during the filming. However, no end credit approval was granted. So, if you watch this movie, it's one of the few movies where there's no end credit.
No approval. Which I never knew and makes me sad.
I'm sorry.
I know.
So, while Naomi wasn't right about genocide, just like Thanos, she was right about the animal cruelty.
Do not give Naomi because she wouldn't snap. That's the thing.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, no. She wouldn't snap. Mm-hmm. But Drake would.
Yes, our friend Drake, lovely, lovely friend Drake, friend of the podcast.
Yep.
He is a member of ThanosWasRight.com. okay, so we had this question come up to during the podcast about the medicinal effects of cow urine.
I mean, it's boiled.
So I will let Madeline read this National Center for Biotechnology information from the National Institutes of Health's website, their discussion of it.
Various studies have found good antimicrobial activity in cow's urine comparable with standard drugs such as, oh, you didn't want to read this because you don't want to have to read all these weird words, such as ofloxacin, cefepime, and gentamicin, against a vast number of pathogenic bacteria, more so against gram-positive than negative bacteria. I have no idea what that sentence meant.
I feel called out because, yeah, that's exactly why I asked you to read
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yep. I tend to stumble over birds.
Yeah.
I would just also like to say, if you heard some caterwauling in the background, I apologize. Our cat is very upset at something.
Our young cat, Corbin Dallas, likes to sit outside of our bedroom door and cry because he wants to be let in, but he does not get along with our big dog, and he doesn't remember that she's in there, and he does not like having doors closed, that he cannot go into rooms. Makes mm-hmm. him very upset.
Yep. I apologize. Our cat is upset. Okay, so the film, The 13th Warrior, was based on a book by Michael Crichton, who was also the secondary director of this movie. I would like to point out that he replaced the original director, Tiernan. One of the ways you can tell this is that if you watch the movie, the credits place Queen Welu, the actress who plays the queen, Diane Venora, has second billing behind Antonio Banderas, yet is in the movie for like a whole 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because a lot of her scenes were cut from the original director's version into the Michael Crichton's version.
Although, I believe that this movie passes the Bechdel test.
It does, because she does talk to that lady on the bed, like the soothsayer lady on the bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also there's the point where she tells the girl, she hands her a knife and she says, don't let them be taken.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ah!
Yep. Yeah, so Michael Crichton wrote it, and he directed the reshoots. According to the website Internet Movie Database, Michael Crichton also wrote The Andromeda Strain from 1971, which was turned into a movie. He wrote, directed, and he wrote the book, then he wrote the screenplay, and directed The Great Train Robbery from 1979.
Didn't we just watch that?
Yeah, Sean Connery and yes, Michael Caine.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Going back to our last episode, he was also the writer and director of the Westworld movie from 1973.
Westworld. He's prolific.
He wrote and directed the movie 1984 Runaway, starring Tom Selleck and Gene Simmons. Yes, that Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Good movie.
Jurassic Park. He wrote the book and wrote the screenplay.
Good movie.
He did not direct it, however. He wrote the book and the screenplay for the movie Rising Sun, again with Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes, about Japanese yes. businessmen. Yeah.
Yes, that's a good
one. He wrote the book and produced the 1994 movie Disclosure.
What's that one? Sounds lawyery.
Yeah, it is. I believe it has, I'm going to kill myself for this brain fart. Who was married to Bruce Willis? Demi Moore.
Oh, yes, Demi Moore.
He wrote and produced the movie Twister.
Yes, good one.
He wrote the book for the movie The Congo.
Good one.
That was the movie with Tim Curry.
Yes, that was a very good movie. Killer Monkeys.
He wrote the book for The Lost World, the second Jurassic Park sequel.
That's also good.
Mm-hmm. He wrote the book for the 1998 horror movie Sphere, starring Sharon Stone, Liev Schreiber, and... what's the guy that plays Mumbles and Dick Tracy? I know I'm going to kill myself knowing this one. Not Al Pacino. Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, okay.
He also was the creator, the writer, and the producer of the long-time-running TV show ER.
Never got into that one.
And he wrote the book for the really terrible 2003 movie Timeline. No,
but it's so good.
Timeline.
But it's so good.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so good. Don't even. You love that movie.
The shot of Paul Walker doing like that I'm in pain face is like awful.
Yeah, but it has
Gerard Butler.
No, yes, but no.
Billy Connolly.
Yes. We love Billy Connolly.
I was getting there. All right.
Yes.
Okay. So
Michael Crichton, good movies.
Okay, director.
And I mean, the
competent director.
Yeah, I mean, he's prolific as a writer, but the one book I read, it was like, because I read 13th Warrior, but it was so dry.
You need to read Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good book.
All right, fine.
All right. He's also dead, so he hasn't written anything in a while.
It wasn't he? He's huge, though. He was. I mean, was. But like,
he was like 6'5", yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very tall.
Like, pictures, like, the man was like enormous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we haven't done an email in a long time, so I am going to read you an email we got from Carlos.
Hello, Carlos.
Carlos would like to know, he says, hello, how is it going? Hope all is well. I have some cool information that might interest you. Your podcast, Shocked and Applaud, has good performance in Apple Podcast rankings in the last 30 days. It is 99 in the category of film reviews in Indonesia.
This was in June.
Yeah,
this year.
This data is provided by podstatus.com. Happy podcasting from Carlos at podstatus.com. So Carlos wanted to let us know that Shocked and Applaud is currently 99 top podcast in Indonesia, which pretty populous country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for us.
Good okay. for them.
Yeah, good for them. So that's all I really have to say about the 13th Warrior. Is there anything you wanted to say about it?
I'm probably still going to watch it.
I mean, we watch it like, we have like a heavy rotation of yeah. like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, 13th Warrior.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, Fast and the Furious. Then it goes back and starts all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, we might throw a Star Wars in a Star Trek movie marathon in there sometime.
Yeah. More Star Trek than Star Wars.
Star Trek is so much better. It's so much more positive.
Well, it makes sense. And, like, our society now has taken some things from Star Trek. Like, it's just more realistic.
I like the fact that, what is it? Somebody said Star Wars is pulp entertainment, whereas Star Trek is aspirational.
Yes.
You know?
This is what we could be. This is what we can become.
Right. Like, no one's ever going to become a Jedi. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to move that soda closer to your hand with just the power of your thought. But given enough time and energy, we could possibly create a world free of conflict and money and a peaceful society that revolves around knowledge and learning.
And by then, you'd have a tractor beam. You'd have like a mini tractor beam that, like, you know, every household, like on your phone, you could have a tractor beam where you could pull that pop can closer to you without having to get up.
Yeah, see?
Ow! Oh, God, cat! Sorry.
This accidental explosion of cat has been brought to you by Aslan. Aslan! Fat tubby cat for all your household needs. Okay, then I guess we're done. We hope you had a good time. We sure hope you enjoyed listening to our rather shortened podcast this time. And we'll see you back again. For Shock Talk, I'm Sean.
I'm Addie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.